Just a week left to come up with another round of coronavirus economic relief. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. Senate Republicans and the White House say they have largely resolved their differences over the next coronavirus relief package, and Senate Republicans are expected to roll out a proposed $1 trillion bill today. There's $16 billion in there for new funding for testing. The White House had originally not wanted new funds for testing. Republicans will then have to negotiate with House Democrats, who passed their own $3 trillion version of a relief bill back in May. Part of the pressure here to get a new aid package is the fact that some benefits are running out in just a few days. The $600 a week additional unemployment payments disappear July 31st. JP Morgan Chase released research showing that that money isn't just helping the folks who get those checks. It is helping all the people and places they spend those checks on, as in it is economic stimulus. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst reports.
Chester Englander in Ohio is a musician for various symphonies. He has two kids and has been almost entirely out of work since March. So has his wife, also a musician. They've been getting $1,200 a week in pandemic unemployment.
It's not an exaggeration to say it kept us afloat. I mean, we paid for food, we could pay our mortgage and property taxes.
Economists say pandemic unemployment has helped boost the whole economy. Josh Bivens is with the Economic Policy Institute.
If we had done nothing, we would have thrown tens of millions of people out of work and given them no income. So they would have stopped spending anywhere near as much as money on groceries. They would have quickly gone into defaults or arrears on mortgages.
Bivens says one sign that people have been spending their $600 a week
was the last 2 months of really fast job growth we saw. You know, we had some reopening of the economy, but then we also had people who had income.
People like Chester Englander, who says he has saved enough to pay 2 months of his mortgage, 1 month for food. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
President Trump is denying reports that he asked his British ambassador to steer a big golf tournament to one of his resorts in Scotland that's not doing so well. The resort in question is Turnberry, owned by the Trump Organization. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here live with more. Hi, Nova.
Good morning.
So lay this out. What exactly is the president alleged to have done?
Right. So this is about the British Open, one of the major golf tournaments. The president reportedly asked his ambassador to the UK, Robert Wood Johnson, to see if the British government could help steer the tournament to Trump's Turnberry Resort. The tournament is run by an independent organization similar to the American structure here in the US, but Johnson reportedly did approach the Scottish Secretary of State and raised the idea of Turnberry hosting the British Open. This allegedly happened more than 2 years ago, but both the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal say that the ambassador told multiple people at the time about Trump's request. The ambassador has not addressed these allegations directly now, but he did tweet that he has followed the ethical rules and requirements of his office.
Okay. As we mentioned, Trump says he did not ask Ambassador Johnson to do this, but I mean, if he did, what would the issue be?
Well, the issue is that the president has already gotten a lot of criticism for not divesting from his company. He continues to own the Trump Organization, but has turned over day-to-day operations to his eldest two sons. Before he was president, the Trump Organization poured a lot of money into Turnberry, reportedly $200 million worth, but it has not been profitable. So what would Turnberry gain from the British Open? Well, potentially tens of millions of dollars. Organizers of the tournament claimed last year it pumped $57 million into the local economy where it was played. So having the tournament at Turnberry would be financially beneficial to the president.
All right, Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Let's take a look at the numbers this morning. The FTSE in London is up 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 4 to 9 tenths% range, with the Dow future up 102 points. 10-year Treasury yield is at 0.59%. Mattel reports earnings this afternoon as Marketplace's Erica Barris reports the toy company is banking on the fact that, in their words, play is never canceled.
Early on during stay-at-home orders, people were looking for ways to stay busy. Toy industry analyst Chris Byrne says they've reprioritized spending.
Money that went into vacations or other types of entertainment for families is now really going into into toys.
Even people who are out of work are still shelling out cash for toys, says San Jose State University sociologist Elizabeth Sweet.
Parents were trying to buffer their children from the, you know, immediacy of the crisis.
That worked out for some toy companies. People were buying puzzles and games families could play together. But toy analyst Richard Gottlieb says it didn't work out for Mattel.
The products they sold were not the products that were in demand.
Barbie, American Doll, Hot Wheels, and Fisher-Price. Mattel pivoted during the pandemic, says Khaled Samira, an analyst with Euromonitor, playing to the moment at hand with marketing that uses the phrase, play is never canceled. The company filled its blog with DIY activities built around their brands that parents can use to educate their kids while they play.
They are becoming more important now to parents as they are now getting into the habit of teaching their kids at home.
And as the lockdown drags on, parents may be looking for toys that feel familiar, like Mattel's, says sociologist Elizabeth Sweet.
What I see the toy industry doing is continuing to go back to old tried and true things instead of exploring new avenues.
But to fully regain the ground it lost early in the pandemic, Mattel needs movie theaters to reopen and Hollywood to get going again, says Kevin Sandler, a film and media studies professor at Arizona State University. Because
movie franchises are essentially toy franchises.
And without splashy opening days, like the one Universal postponed for its Minions movie this spring, those toys don't have that big gimme gimme I want push behind them. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
A Reuters analysis of earnings calls found more than 25 large companies plan on shrinking their office space in the coming year. Halliburton, for example, intends to close more than 100 facilities itself. Sounds like some of us are going to be working from our bedrooms for quite some time to come. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.